Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Chris is back from thinkpenguin.com after a bit of a hiatus as you were traveling about the country going to various, Linux conferences and things like that?
Well, I actually did, but it was mainly a vacation that
It was an actual, oh, that's right.
It was an actual vacation.
You hadn't had one in like 10 years?
Yeah.
You're like me, dude, just working, you know, all the time.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I'm nonstop working, and
but if you love what you do,
I travel a lot.
Is it really like work if you love what you do?
Yeah, well, I think it is to a degree because ultimately, usually when I go to events and things, I don't actually have time for myself.
That's
so
true.
It's like you fly there, you do your event, and then you leave.
Set up
you don't
the booth,
actually,
you talk to people.
Yeah,
you go to sleep. You do it again the next day if it's more than one day.
I don't want
to
make it out like I'm doing hard work or anything, but you know, it's certainly It's tiring. I mean, it is tiring.
Yeah, it's work. I mean, Daryl and I, we've done lots of outreach booths, and we'll be doing another one coming up at the New Hampshire Cannabis Freedom Festival. At least I presume you're coming along for us for it this time.
Yeah, was planning on...
I have a ticket for you, so presumed you would be going. But it's going to be a lot of fun. That's coming up at the end of this month, August 25th through the 27th. And
sounds right.
They are currently experimenting with taking Bitcoin on their website. They've got it set up there. But I'm just double-checking with them sort of behind the scenes to make sure everything's working correctly. So if you buy Bitcoin right now over at nhcanifest.com, you will be a guinea pig. So keep that in mind when you do that. So they just added it to the site.
I would not recommend feeding cannabis to your guinea pig, however.
Now you're looking. You already looked.
I am looking.
You already looked.
I am looking. And I'm just going to say that I'm shocked.
It's shocking. It is... 18,982.
19,000.
19,000 Bolivar Fuerte.
It's within the statistical margin of error.
Per dollar. It has, the inflation rate there over the last week has been tremendous. If you bought a sandwich a week ago,
that was a good investment because you would not be able to buy a sandwich today.
You would be able to buy half of a sandwich for the same price today in Venezuela. It's that bad. And if that's not an indicator that the market is not happy with the elections in Venezuela, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Because the government there was, of course, their propaganda is like, the people have come out and have spoken and they have elected their constitutional representatives and they are going forward to a constitutional assembly where they'll rewrite the constitution, of course, to favor Nicolas Maduro as much as possible and aggregate as much power to that man as they possibly
can.
Right,
but is it really that much different than, say, in the United States where we have an election might have 20% turnout in a municipal election, statewide election, might be 40, might be presidential election, you're pushing 47, 48, maybe 50% in some states.
We were just talking actually during one of the breaks about, how much Bolivar Fuerte does it take to go and purchase yourself a sandwich in Venezuela. And while they did just issue the 20,000 Bolivar Fuerte note, that's their highest level note that they have. And that is essentially the equivalent now of just above a dollar's worth of Bolivar Fuerte on the black market.
Yes.
So that's like 25 bills, basically, if I want to go out with somebody and, like me and my partner.
If you got a $25 meal, if you could find the food.
Not a $25 meal. I mean, that's like, 25? That's like 12 something per person. That's not that much.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you could find the food, how many restaurants in Venezuela are still operating would be an interesting question to learn about.
Oh, that's a very good point.
Do they even still have restaurants in
Venezuela? That's what I'm wondering. We've read a lot of stories about kind of the fall of the socialist nation of Venezuela. And
right. One of the toy stores were nationalized because they were trying to sell things, at what would cover their cost. And they were alleged to have been price gouging.
Yeah, that would be interesting to look at because, we've certainly seen what is it like in the hospitals. It's dismal. There's, a lack of medicine, a lack of some of the most basic medical supplies. Quote, every time the black dollar goes up, you're poorer, resignedly said Juan Zabala, an executive at a reinsurance business in Caracas. His salary is 800,000 bolivars per month, on Thursday. That was worth $47 US at the parallel rate. A year ago, it was $200.
Wow.
The inexorable dive of the money was one of the most discussed signs of the uncertainty created by the appointment of the Constituent Assembly, which starts work today. By the way, Friday today. As a result, those Venezuelans who are able to are hoarding U.S. dollars. Quote, people are protecting the little they have left, said economics expert Astrubal Oliveros of the Ecoatlantica firm. He told that to AFP. But Zabala, who is considered comparatively well off, and other Venezuelans struggling with their evaporating money, said they now spent all they earn. All of what they earn is spent on?
Food.
That's correct.
What else?
Spent on food.
Right now, the stock market at the level of the bubble that is about to burst in the stock market here, since the election, or since the Trump inauguration, the market is up close to almost 5,000 points. I think that's due to some behind-the-scenes deregulating of some of the financial markets in New York, and it's causing this big stock buy going on right now. People are just getting in and out quick, making a quick buck. This is all going to collapse here very soon. And the same people that are going to that took it in the shorts before are going to get it. It's going to be the retirees that have their money invested in stocks in their IRA programs, things like that. The pros will all they'll sell off first.
So when you say it's all going to collapse. You said it's all going to collapse here rather soon. Do you mean just the stock market, or do you mean the entire economy of the United States government?
It'll throw the economy into a serious recession, maybe even a depression. It'll probably. I'm saying that the market will probably. It'll start out. It'll lose about on a Friday the market will open. It'll lose 2,000 points in the first 45 minutes. They'll close the market for the week. For the week, they'll close it at 10 a.m. and then over the weekend. The pressure will just build and build and build, and then when it reopens on the ensuing Monday, it'll drop another 3,000 points in the first hour, and then they'll just have to let it go. And at the end of the carnage, we're back down to about 9,000 for the Dow, and then the pros will buy back in. They'll what they sold at 20 when the Dow was 22,000, they sold off, and then they'll buy back those same stocks at pennies on the dollar.
You wanted to tell us about Rodrigo Duterte, the president of the Philippines. What's going on over there now?
Yeah. Okay, as of, I believe it is around May 24th, thereabouts, he had declared martial law in most of the populated areas of the country.
Uh-oh.
I think he was under the same situation as Maduro is. He held some kind of kangaroo elections there where 98% of the people voted for him. Anyways, the Philippines, there's a lot of expatriate Americans. A lot of Americans go there to retire, or they go there to visit on vacation. He has been running these, he's had this crackdown on drugs going on for the last couple of years, and they've kind of morphed into, it started out as just harassment of foreigners and things like that. It has morphed into death squads there. There have been several thousand executions of foreigners of American, I'm not going to necessarily say American citizens or anything like that, but people like non-Philippine citizens there are being dragged off the streets and executed there and left for dead. And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because there's a fellow that lives here in the summertime. He goes back to the Philippines in November, spends the non-monsoon season there, and he loves it there. He says that it's a beautiful country. It's cheap to live there. He rents a place for $100 a month and the bicycles around, just running a bicycle and all that. And then he comes back here to escape the monsoon.
Headline from RT yesterday, Duterte wants 30,000 more troops to crack down on the Islamic State and other emerging terrorist threats in the Philippines.
Oh, God. Bill, anything else you want to share about this?
I think that what I was saying earlier, he's doing this, he's trying to consolidate, he's trying to form a dictatorship, probably a lot like Maduro is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And by one of the tools you can use, I don't know how much Maduro is doing it, just by breaking the people, by ruining the currency. Another way to do it is to scare people.
Sure. Who wants to run against this guy? Right. I mean, who wants to risk getting gunned down in the streets to run a political campaign against Rodrigo Duterte. Right. I mean, that's the kind of idea here. It's our understanding that the government has a 10-to-1 exchange rate. So there's the real exchange rate, which is set by the black marketplace. Then yep. there's the fantasy exchange rate of 10-to-1 by the government. But it turns out, as we were reading a different article from AFP about the money situation there, that there's a second exchange rate that the government has decreed.
Right. So just to clarify, there is an exchange rate of 10-to-1.
That's correct.
And then there's another secondary exchange rate that is also set by the Venezuelan federal government.
Correct. So the two rates are DICOM, DICOM, and DPRO, DIPRO. The DPRO rate is the 10-to-1 rate.
Yes.
The DICOM rate, on the other hand, at this current point in time is 2,870 Bolivar Fuerte per dollar. Now, why are there two different exchange rates of such great disparity as well?
Yeah.
In this country.
That just seems insane.
So there's an explanation, again, what is an attempted explanation here from CaracasChronicles.com. This is from 2016. So, keep in mind the numbers here are going to be very different from then compared right. to what they are now. But it was March of 2016 when this story came out. The head of Venezuelan's economics team, Miguel Perez Abad, has announced that a new foreign exchange system now will be created with two official rates. If you love new weird acronyms, the minister has a treat for you. The stronger rate will be called the DPRO, which Perez Abad explains stands for Tipo de Cambio Protegido. Don't ask why it's DPRO and not TPRO. We don't know either. So then there's the other rate, the second and weaker rate called DICOM, D-I-C-O-M, for Tipo de Cambio Complementario. This will be a floating rate and will open, again, this was a year ago, at 206 Bolivar Fuerte per dollar. Now it's 2,800. Yes. They say here, no, really, it will float free. Free as a bird. The minister said it would. DICOM will be used for everything not included in the DPRO. Imports of non-essential goods. So not all imports will apply to one or the other. It's going to be split. So it's whatever the government determines is non-essential versus essential.
Right. Foreign... You don't actually need to have wheat because, right. see, Nicolas Maduro has some wheat, and bakers, you have to use like 80% of his wheat.
Foreign currency for Venezuelan travelers, currency sales for diplomatic missions, proceeds from exports, basic industries, and other non-oil entities, as well as foreign oil companies and the sales of hydrocarbons. They were talking about sort of the what's happening to professionals in Venezuela, those people that still have a job. They're seeing their money that they're getting in their paycheck devalued constantly. They're not getting increases in pay. So if you're making, as they give the example here, one guy is making 800,000 Bolivar per month, which a year ago was worth $200. It's now worth $47 at the parallel rate, which I believe is that 20. I believe that's the 2870. I'm not sure.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. I'm not doing the math in my head here, but according to the International Monetary Fund, the situation in Venezuela is expected to get worse, with inflation expected to go above 700% this year. In June, Nicolas Maduro had tried to clamp down on the black market trade in dollars, although auctions of greenbacks at the weekly fixed rate known as DICOM, there is also the other official rate, the 10 bolivars per dollar, reserved for food and medicine imports. Zabala, who spends 10% of his income on diabetes treatment, says, quote, things are going up in price faster than salaries, unquote. Yesterday, Maduro promised speculators setting their prices in line with, quote, the terrorist criminal dollar in Miami, unquote, would go to jail. For the past 4 months, Maduro has been the target of protests which have been forcefully confronted by security units, resulting in a death toll of more than 125 people. The opposition says the new constituent assembly is an effort to create a dictatorship along the lines of communist Cuba. Against that backdrop of tensions, quote, there is no limit on how far the black dollar can go, according to Eco Analytica. But a director for the firm, Henkel Garcia, said he believed the current black market rate, quote, didn't make sense, unquote. And he noted the past currency declines weren't linear. Well, of course they're not necessarily going to be linear. They're going to jump on people's opinions. They're going to jump on what the marketplace is thinking and doing. The market doesn't always respond in a straight line. You know, sometimes it gets a little messy out there. But ultimately, if you actually have economic freedom or a semblance of economic freedom, as we do by comparison in the United States, I mean, the U.S., as we were talking about, I think you were talking about during the break, but you talked about just a nightmarish situation you had in Louisiana. And that there were just taxes all over the place. You moved here to New Hampshire from New Jersey, and of course the taxes are just a nightmare.
They're getting worse there too.
There was discussion about the debt. What was the size of the debt that you had mentioned? And then you had asked
one of
the question of who would loan them money.
Yeah, so,
and I found part of the answer.
It was PDVSA, which is the state-run oil company in Venezuela. Yes. It says here at France 24 that they have a $3.4 billion loan that has to be paid back this October.
Right. So I found an article from Reuters about PDVSA increasing exports to Rosneft, which is a Russian oil company, and they have a $1.5 billion loan from Rosneft.
Oh, wow.
And this larger story is about the possibility of Venezuela defaulting. And there's also an article from Fox Business about Venezuela might default. And apparently they only have, the country only has $3 billion of reserves in cash, which means that they're heavily dependent upon oil exports to be able to pay the debt.
Yeah.
And since we've talked previously about how difficult it is for them to get those boats out of the port, it's very difficult for them to make the money to pay the debts.
Let's say they've cleared up that issue and they are getting the oil out of the port. Even still, it's going to be difficult for them to make this debt payment.
This article also concludes with, although a majority of Venezuelans reject Maduro's leadership, he enjoys the backing of the military, the courts, and the electoral authorities.
Sure,
and that's
does.
Really all you need to support you, right?
And now
you've got the military, the courts, and the people counting the votes?
Right. The only thing he doesn't have is the National Assembly, which is controlled by the opposition, and that's why he's holding, or they held this vote, to elect the Constituent Assembly, which is all his constituents, who will now rewrite the Constitution to likely either write the National Assembly out completely or to disempower them or, you know, politically disembowel them. Pharma Bro, this guy who, Martin Shkreli, making headlines for being a real jerk, raising the price of a medication to a ridiculous level, you know, basically just hurting sick people.
Right.
And while in charge of a pharmaceutical company,
running some hedge funds.
Yep. Turns out he ran a hedge fund into the ground or something and then tried to raid his other company to get money to make his investors as whole as he could.
Pay off investors that wanted their money, and he didn't have their money.
Right, and now he's been convicted of securities fraud and conspiracy to commit securities fraud, basically.
Yes, and again, he says that he was cleared of the most important charges. Let me go back to...
Was he?
Because he was only convicted of 3 of the 8.
Gotcha. Which are felony counts, right?
Oh, yes. They're all federal felonies.
Right.
So again,
you could claim, you could claim if you go to trial and you're facing all felonies and you end up with a misdemeanor conviction, I could see how you would argue that, this was a pretty big, and the scale of things in the federal courts, you generally, if you go to trial, you get found guilty on everything.
Yeah.
So the fact that you didn't get convicted of a felony and instead got convicted of a misdemeanor, you could try to stretch that and say that that was a win. I might hand that one to you.
The judge said that she ordered Shkreli to stop talking to the press during the trial. She also told opposing lawyers that they were arguing, quote unquote, like children. Shkreli's lawyer, Benjamin Braffman, said that he would argue strongly on appeal that his client did not deserve a custodial sentence. He said,
That he doesn't deserve to go to prison.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Actual quote, I think we're smiling, even though it's not the clean sweep we would have preferred. I think some of these counts are hanging by a thread, and my hope is that at the end of the appellate process, there's no prison time for Martin.
Meanwhile, he'll be sitting in prison.
Prosecutors had told the jury that Shkreli told lies upon lies from where he went to university to the health of his business. He had boasted he had $40 million in hedge funds that only had about $300 in the bank. Prior to the trials, Shkreli boasted that he would be acquitted entirely because he was so innocent and jurors would apologize to him. He also faces a heap of civil lawsuits.
Today we went to the Anor Academy of Knoxville and made the official announcement that in about 6 weeks we are planning to pull up stakes here in East Tennessee and move about 1,100 miles north to establish the Masjid al-Latif and Interfaith Community Center in New Hampshire.
What? The crickets are cheering.
Awesome. What?
All right, so I've got, I thought I had applause queued up here, but apparently I turned it all the way down. There we go. That's huge news.
Yeah. Will That's Coley. Exciting.
We, of course, had you on the show as recently as the Somalia Fest, where you and some other great activists out there, Ernie Hancock and others, threw an amazing party at the Freedom's Phoenix Dome that they had over there. It was just a lot of fun. It was the very first ever Somalia Fest, and you DJ'd that party for like 5 hours plus straight. It was awesome, and it was just, it's always just so sad to see you go from New Hampshire, because you know you're a really talented guy, and I think a wonderful communicator for Islam. I mean, we've had you on the show here a number of times, not physically in the studio, but that sounds like it might be happening soon enough. I know you'd been staying down in Tennessee because of a school situation there, where you guys had a really great private school for your kids to go to, and that you really liked, but did you want to talk about how that kind of fell apart, or was that not for on air?
I mean, it just, you know, something happened and they weren't accepted to for the scholarship program again this year. And we can't afford to send them really outside of the scholarship program because it's a particularly expensive private school. So with that no longer really standing in the way, we started, just trying to decide what we would do next. And you know, this came up and it was something that my wife and I discussed, and we discussed it with the local community, and they're very, very sad to see us go, but they think this is a great opportunity and that, you know, if it's there, we should take advantage of it. And we made the announcement today. We raised already, we're raising 15 grand, but of that, we raised about $300 today.
It's a good start.
Well, we have other people that have come to us privately and said, you know, look, we want to talk to you tomorrow or this weekend. Can we give you a call? And usually those are the sponsors that come up with, you know, $1,500, $2,000, $3,000. So we're hoping that we'll be able to put all of this together and be up there around the time school starts, or maybe shortly after.
And there's no doubt in my mind, Will, that you're a really, you know, principled, liberty-minded guy. You ran for the Libertarian Party's vice presidential nomination, sort of in tandem with Daryl, who ran for the presidential nomination back in 2016. Unfortunately, neither of you were successful because the Libertarian Party nationally is an embarrassing joke. But here in New Hampshire, it's like really successful and has been doing fantastic in just the last year alone. So you're really coming into something here that is already a real groundswell of libertarian action. And obviously you've been paying close attention, Will. You know, how long have you and your wife been talking about New Hampshire as an option?
Well, I brought it up, I want to say 3 years ago. And when I brought it up, my son had just started this really great private school. We had just found out that he was going to get these, this great scholarship and all this other stuff. So it was just like, until a school like that opens up in New Hampshire, it's just a no-go. So we just kind of put the idea to bed, and we continued doing the work that we do and coming to New Hampshire for events and stuff like that. And that was just where we left it, you know? But then we got the notification while we were in the midst of the hell that was our attempt to get home from Porkfest.
Yeah, your car broke down and you were like stranded in Connecticut for a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got ripped off. We stayed in New Hampshire for an extra week. We got ripped off on an event because a venue owner wasn't honest about numbers. We got home and we started talking about it, and then we checked on the opportunity that was there, and we saw that it was an amazing opportunity. We put some stuff together, and we made a few phone calls to see if there was, and you know, did some polling to see if there was a demand for us to show up, and if there was, would other Muslims follow?
Well, that's a big question, because you are talking about doing something really unprecedented, and in my opinion, we need people like you, the instigators, the self-starters, the leaders, the people who are going to come and create something from scratch, to create something new that has never existed before and put it out there and see what happens. Because you are talking about moving to, I mean, you're a white dude, but a lot of Muslims aren't necessarily. And you're talking about moving to one of the whitest of states out there, New Hampshire, in one of the more white corners of New Hampshire here, you know, possibly in Cheshire County. I know you're looking at some options here. You know, it doesn't seem like a particularly, by its demographics at least, place that you would see a mosque popping up.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.